Blog Talk Radio.
Determined to make it? I am determined to make it. Are you determined to make it? With every day of struggles and trials, you know, it's just another realm. And then it goes higher. We get a little closer to God. It gives us another opportunity to trust Him. It gives us another opportunity to lay all of our burdens down and let Him take over complete control. And as we do that, we learn to take out, that we find ourselves getting closer and closer in new relationships. The more that we earn, the more glory that we receive here on this side, yeah, it's going to be a new burden to go with it. So every round, every realm goes higher and higher. You learn different things, and so you grow. It's just a growth pattern. New opportunities for you to trust. So when you're looking for higher positions, remember there are things that come with those positions, and we can't run from them. We don't want to stay idle. We want to continue to grow. We want to continue to move forward. That means that we're going to have some things, struggles, because the enemy is just looking for any reason to pull us down. And any baby, as a baby learns to crawl, it's not easy at first. But if that child continues to go on that pathway, he will eventually learn to not only crawl, but as us, saints, we begin to run. We begin to even, after we have learned to walk, we run. And we run faster. And we get good at it. And some of us go on and make our professions out of it. So it all starts from the step one. So let's not run from our struggles. Let's not run from the hard times in our lives. Let's not run because everything did not work out the way that we had set it down in our five-year planner to work out. Getting to those goals sometimes may be different from what we saw, the way that we saw us getting there. But let's keep getting there. Let's continue until we get there. That's the most of the thing. Remember, the race is not given to who? The swift? It doesn't matter how fast you get there. It's not given to the swift. Nor the strong. It doesn't matter for the person who feels like, oh, maybe I'm too old now to start trusting in the Lord. It doesn't matter how strong you are. Can you be strong-minded, strong-willed? If it's God's will, you know, and his way is his will. So it's not given to the race, it's not given to the swift, nor to the strong. But who is it given to then, evangelist? Well, I come to remind you that the word says that the race, this Christian walk that we're on, as we're passing through on our way to glory, hallelujah, is given to who? To the one, you and I, that endureth to the end. That goes through the hurdles. We participate on those jobs, so we know that this is not, you know, we just, oh, I just can't wait to get out of here. Do what you need to do there first. When it's time, God will let you know. You'll be able to move through that one, pass through that test, and keep on moving. But don't quit, because then you got to go around that mountain again. So you made a bad choice, and it got you into some situation that now you got to try to get yourself out of. Work your way out of it. Serve that time, whatever it needs to be done. And when it's time, God will lead you out of it. Hallelujah. His grace and his mercy says they will never leave us, never forsake us. Hallelujah. We have to believe it. We trust in it. And let's live in it. Our scripture today comes from the book of St. John in the New Testament, starting at verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things. Light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the reader, the hearer, and God bless all the doers of the word. The ones that straighten believe that God is the word. In the beginning it was the word, and the word was God, and the word was God with God. that all things was made by God. Without him, that nothing would have been made. That he is life. And life, the light of men. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we ask you to continue to bless this ministry, bless all of the listeners and participants of the ministry, and just continue to grow us, and don't let us get discouraged. When we feel like that we're fainting, just send someone there to us, dear Father, to lift up that bowed down head by through your word in any way that you choose. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for another birthday year for everyone celebrating birthdays today on April 25th, 2011. And a special happy birthday to my brother, Reggie. Happy birthday, Reggie. April 25th, 2011. Still in the 40s, hanging on in there. All right, all right. God bless you, brother. So we just celebrate Reggie's birthday and all of those that are celebrating their birthdays or anniversaries or whatever it is on this day. God bless you. God bless you. And I just thank God that he just see another year. Hey, somebody didn't live to see it, so we're just celebrating, enjoying it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to pick up where we left off on last evening, and we was talking about the greatness of the redemption, of God's love, of the grace, his grace. And we're just going to pick up on the last one of that, and we'll be through with that, and we can move on. And that's the authority. Sisters and brothers, it's so important that we are walking in the authority that God has given to his son, that his son has given to us. We must speak with the authority of Jesus Christ. We must walk with the authority of Jesus Christ. How often do you see people or hear people as they're going through just daily living and they speak like they are just, you know, they don't believe it themselves. Well, I don't know if I'm ever going to get this illness off of me. You know, I don't know if I will ever get married. Or if they're married, I don't know if my husband will ever treat me right. My wife is never doing anything. You must speak with authority. You must speak to your situation with the authority. But if God himself stood there before you, you would not expect him to speak to your situation the way that you speak to it. Is that correct? I believe that it is. So if you would expect him to put his all the miraculous things that he's able to do, if you would expect him to speak to your body and tell it to be healed, why don't you believe that he's giving you that authority? You see, the blood of Jesus Christ has covered all of your sins. So it said that by his stripes you were healed. So that if you were healed, why don't you speak to your body as though it were healed? If you were healed, why don't you speak to your mind as though it were healed? You say, I feel like I'm losing my mind. I feel like I'm losing my mind. And the next thing you know, you start saying, I'm crazy. I think I'm crazy, evangelist. I think I'm crazy. I'm going crazy. Speak to your mind the way that you want to. And you tell yourself, this too will pass. This too will pass. And that's where you have to continue to go. Speak with the authority that you believe it. And you push through that. You keep on praying until you start to see something happen. This too will pass. I will make it through this. I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. I can make it through this. I will see victory out of this situation. Yeah, you know, doing your 5-year, 10-year plans, all of that's beautiful. And it's very necessary for us to make sure that we're staying on some kind of road and travel as we're traveling down the road of following his righteousness. However, we as flesh got to remember that how we get there, we don't see our ending from when we're beginning this goal. How we get not being Dean, just like we have it down planned. Well, I go take the course here, and then I get that degree, and then I move forward, and I do this and that. Somewhere around the way, we're forgetting that God has his way, and his way is his will. And so he's going to put different things in there that's going to get us where we need to be. We'll still get there as long as we follow him. So don't get discouraged when things are the way that you're planning them to go. Because God says, I have my way for you, because I know the plans that I have for you, Jeremiah 29:11. And he said, they are plans to prosper you. So don't think that it's things that, you know, it has to be devastation every time things don't go your way. Now, back to the thief that was beside Jesus, the one who had came to repentance. The repentance thief called Jesus Lord. Well, he recognized his authority. Now, remember, before he was mocking him along with everybody else, and then he saw something that the other thief refused to see. After he saw that, he recognized him and his authority. So after mocking and cursing Jesus, he quit talking and began to listen. And we need to do that same thing. We need to stop talking about our situation so much, talking about what's going on in the world so much, and start listening to God, reading the word. What did God say he would do in this situation? How should I respond in this situation? So he began to listen. And as Jesus spoke, he recognized the borders of authority. And it changed his view. It changed his whole thought pattern. So he put his own flesh down, and then he recognized deity. God's word became manifested in flesh. As he looked to the cross, the thief said, Lord, oh, remember me. In words of repentance, he's saying, I don't have anything to offer. He's saying, I'm about to die myself, but please remember me. Hallelujah. Please just remember me. And some of you may remember an old song that used to sing, Don't Pass Me By. While on others thou art calling, but please just don't pass me by. I think of that when I think of the thief. And now he's saying, Lord, just remember me. Just remember me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just thank him for the opportunity because he said, surely I will. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Jesus didn't rebuke the thief. He gave him a promise. And in Luke 23:43, tells us exactly the promise that our Lord and Savior gave to the thief on the cross. What did he say? He said, verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Today shall thou be with me in paradise. That is a wonderful thing. See, even a centurion recognize the authority of Jesus. He didn't have the 9 gifts of the Spirit or the fullness of the Godhead. He didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost had not yet come. Yet in front of everyone, he proclaimed that Jesus was truly the Son of God. The centurion had revelation knowledge of the deity of Christ. You will never get saved unless you recognize the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. One more time. You will never get saved unless you recognize the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't believe he has the authority to save you, you will never reach out to him. If you don't believe that he has the authority to heal your broken marriage, you will never reach out to him. If you don't believe that he can heal the sickness that's in your body,
You will tell he, she, and it, but you will never reach out to him. If you don't believe my pastors and my leaders that he has the authority, that he has the power to bring that broken down congregation back into the fold, build them up where it's all torn down, and use your congregation. If you don't believe that, you say they're too far gone. They're just too far gone. And I can't wait till he gives me the permission to get up out of here. I want to go somewhere else and preach. I want to start over. He's not putting you anywhere else. He's leaving you there for a reason. The question is, will you do your job that you've been called to do there? Hallelujah. He can still use your congregation. Let him use you. It starts all the way at the top. Let your congregation see what you believe, that you're living proof of what God can do, that God can make a difference, that he can change them. Let them see that in you. Start living that life yourself. Start dragging on your congregation. Look for the good things in your congregation instead of all the weaknesses. Start talking to them about that. Start patting the feedback. And watch God just use them. Watch him use them. Let them know that you believe in them, that you're not giving up on them, that you're right there beside them. Watch what God will do. Watch him use them. Hallelujah. Spouses, I know you've been praying for that loved one to come and give their life to Christ. It could have started from something way back, and you just didn't, you thought, well, oh, I can change them. I can make the difference. I know I was in love with this man. I know I can change him. I know I can get her to make a difference. Only God can save them. You can lead them to Christ by continuing to live the life before them. You can lead them to Christ by still believing that God is able to bring them into his kingdom, that he's still able to heal them, to set them free. He will do it. He will do it. God is a good God. And when is the last time that you prayed for that one that you're believing to come into the fold? When is the last time that you prayed for them? That should be something that you're doing on a daily basis, maybe 2 and 3 times a day, that you're just praying for them to receive God's healing, that you're just praying for them to just hear God's voice. You're praying with them, and you're not trying to force anything on. But the most important thing is to believe, to show them that you believe. You believe that God is going to make a way through them. Hallelujah. You got to believe that God has the authority to save you, to heal you, to bring you through. Church theologians are trying to discount the deity of Christ. Was he really born of a virgin? Yes, he was. Everything God ever did was a miracle. Mary was a young teenage girl who recognized the authority of God. An angel spoke the will of God to her, and she received it and obeyed. She knew the voice of authority, for she knew God. The high priest surrounding Jesus did not know the voice of authority. Jesus said to them, I am the Son of God. He that has seen me has seen the Father. This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. According to the Gospel of Luke. But that high priest, he did not know the voice of the authority. See, Jesus expected them to know who he was, for they had worshipped his Father for centuries. For centuries. However, they had become so theologically messed up in their minds that they didn't see who Jesus was. According to the Gospel, according to John, It says he was in the world. We just read this. And the world was made by him. And what? And yet the world knew him not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And yet the world knew him not. God bless you. We see you in the chat room. See, Mary knew the authority of God. The thief knew too. And they all saw God for who he was. And Jesus, they saw the grace of God, the love of God, and God's redemption plan. The high priest saw religion. So he missed the whole life of God because his eyes were stuck on religion. He never was able to see the redemption. Jesus said of Judas, that would have been better if he never would have been born, according to Matthew 26 and 24. And then again in Mark 14, Peter betrayed Jesus, just as Judas did. But he went out and wept sorely. Peter knew the love of God, and he was sorry. See, the love of God compelled him to repentance, because he knew the love of God. So it compelled him to repent. And the law of grace, that's what keeps us too. The law of grace brought forgiveness. That's how God can forgive us for all of these things. We carry ourselves through. That we set ourselves up. It's the law of grace. And it's the love of God. If you don't know the love of God, you will never be compelled to repent of your sins. You will continue to try to just brush them under the rug. You will continue to try to look at every sin that your sister or your brother is making, but you will never be able to look at yours. You'll never be able to see that you was truly wrong about yours and repent of those sins if you don't know the love of God. But the love of God, my sisters and brothers, will compel you to repentance. And then the law of grace will forgive you. See, the thief on the cross saw Jesus for who he was, and he was instantly changed. The question today is, how do you see Jesus? How do you see Jesus? Do you see Jesus as someone who can save you? Do you see Jesus as someone who can forgive you by his grace? Do you see Jesus as someone who has the authority to get you out of the situation that you've got yourself into? You said, oh, but I think I'm too far gone, Evangelist. You don't know how, you know, what I've done and some of the things I've done. I've hurt people. I've stole from people. I've lied to people. I'm an adulteress. I'm a fornicator. I'm this. I'm that. But he is the great I am. And it's by the law of grace. I know that this, you're not deserving of it. Neither am I. But it's by the law of grace that he can forgive you, that he still opens his heart, and he's knocking on your heart. Will you invite him in? He said, I will change you. I know the plans that I have for you. Those plans are to prosper you. The thief on the cross saw that. When you see Jesus as Savior, as your Savior and your Lord, redemption comes alive in your spirit. And that's when you're born again. Redemption will come alive in your spirit, not what someone told you, not what your mother said or your father said, but redemption personally will become alive in your spirit. And that's when you're born again. If you have sin in your life, sisters and brothers, I beg of you to repent. And ask Jesus to forgive you. You know, repentance is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Don't let nobody come to you and tell you, well, I wouldn't be asking for forgiveness. You know, she was wrong for what she said to you. That's why you said those things back to her. That's why you retaliated and did what you did. Repent of your sin. Repentance is not a sign of weakness, but it's a sign of strength. It takes a strong person to repent. And as you repent, let God forgive you by the grace, the law of grace. So if you have sin in your life, again, I ask you to repent and ask Jesus to forgive you. Instantly, your sins will be forever washed away. Not like your friends, your sister, your brother, your even your loved ones. Say, I forgive you, but they remind you about it every few days, or they remind you about that same situation every time that something comes up that they don't like what you're doing, the behavior that you're exhibiting, they put it back in your face. And they even remind you sometimes that I knew I shouldn't have forgave you. Was it true forgiveness? But when God forgives you, instantly your sins will be forever washed away, making you clean, making you free from the dominion of sin. In closing tonight, I ask you to open your eyes and let the reality of redemption change your life today. Again, I ask you to open your eyes and let the reality of redemption change your life today. Many people think that they will live their own way throughout this whole life. And then they say they're going to give in to God on their deathbed. Are you sure that you want to gamble on being able to do that? Again, 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 reminds us. The scripture says, now is the day of salvation. It said now, N-O-W, now, today, right now. He didn't say not tomorrow, not next week, but it says now. Now is the day of salvation. The question is, will you allow him to save you? Or will you book on the fact that when it's your time coming, that you're going to be able to lay on a deathbed and then ask the Lord to remember you? Hallelujah. I beg of you to watch the news. I beg of you to turn on any broadcast. People are dying instantly every day. Thousands. How do we know that tomorrow is not our day? Hallelujah. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's good to know him because your parents have taught you about him. It's good to know him because your spouse is living that life. But what about you? Everyone's going to have to go through the gates one by one, individually. No need. You can't lie about what you've done in your life. Your whole life. The book of life is going to be open. And every word that you've said, every opportunity you had to go worship in the house of the Lord that you didn't go, you're going to have to explain that. You're going to have to speak to that. Every time that you had an opportunity to pray with your child and you did something else, you must explain that. Head of household, every time that you should have been there with your family and you chose to go out with the boys, those things is going to have to be explained. When you had the opportunity to live right, mothers before your daughters, to live right, fathers, before your sons, all of that will be revealed. It's nothing that you can hide. All of it will be revealed right there before you. So this is your opportunity. If you believe in the word and you believe that Jesus has the authority to save you, I ask you to repeat after me. And if you believe that the day of salvation is now, repeat after me. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God, and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on that cross. And I receive you right now. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. And if you just prayed this prayer, congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, in the New Testament says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I want you to know that all of heaven is celebrating with you. We here at Tri-Anointed Ministries is celebrating with you. You can reach out to us by contacting us here on the Blog Talk, or you can reach out at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You have a brand new life with Jesus and a bright future filled with faith, filled with hope. It's important that you let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you. We would love to send you out any free material that you may need. And again, I just want to thank God for a birthday for my brother Reggie. So just real quickly, Blog Talk, join in with me as we sing Happy Birthday as our closing song. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Reggie. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Reggie. God bless you. All right, this is Evangelist Von Dumas. I am signing off from Tri-Anointed Ministries, and we believe that Jesus deserves all of the praise. The truth is that we all encounter him. God bless you.
Think about the words of this song. You deserve victories you have won.
You deserve my praise because I am free.
You deserve my praise for blessing me.